We should learn today who will build the KCX tanker. Unions line up against airline mergers. And American Airlines defends the actions of crew members who tried to save a dying passenger. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, February 27th, 2008. On Monday, Pentagon decision-makers reportedly met and decided whether Boeing, or Northrop Grumman EADS partnership, will supply the Air Force with 179 new aerial refueling tankers. Reuters cites two sources who say once the Department of Defense briefs the two companies and key lawmakers, an official announcement will follow, probably after the stock markets close today. If selected, Northrop has promised to bring construction of the KC-30 and 26,000 jobs to Alabama. Boeing will build the KC-767 in Everett, Washington, with tanker components added in Wichita, affecting 44,000 jobs. Several analysts have gone on record predicting the KCX deal was Boeing's to lose, but both companies have lobbied both lawmakers and public opinion to attempt to sway the decision. Watch aeronews.net later today for updates. We're now seeing one reason why Delta and Northwest felt urgency to get a merger done once the rumors started. Both airlines have seen their stock prices hit this week after unions have hinted they'll balk at combining workforces. The economic factors driving the merger include the need within the U.S. airline industry to eliminate duplication in routes and services to counter rising fuel prices. The way you save money in a merger is to consolidate lightly traveled routes and eliminate excess jobs. And there's no getting around it. That means fewer employees. Reuters says Delta and Northwest have told employees they want to grow the airline, not cut jobs. The unions aren't buying it. Early reports that both groups of pilots had agreed to a new seniority system for combined workforces proved premature. Now, the International Association of Machinists, representing over 12,000 bag handlers, customer service reps, and reservation agents at Northwest, said a merger will mean substantial job losses and service cuts. The union says it will oppose big airline mergers, including Northwest and Delta. Analysts say a merger needs to start soon, or it may not happen this year. More details have surfaced regarding an American Airlines crew's handling of a passenger's emergency medical situation on Friday. Corinne Desir died on the flight from Port-au-Prince, Haiti, to New York. Her cousin, Antonio Oliver, who was traveling with her, implied that cabin attendants on the Airbus A300 ignored Desir's initial requests for oxygen, and that two oxygen bottles and an onboard defibrillator malfunctioned. The airline, the flight attendants union, and a doctor on board who helped respond said the charges are false. American says its flight attendants do not routinely administer oxygen just because a passenger asks for it, but got there within 3 minutes with two working oxygen canisters. Through his attorney, passenger Dr. Joel Shulkin said two emergency medical technicians on the flight performed CPR. The plane's automated external defibrillators are designed to tolerate imperfect decision-making by users without medical training. They're programmed to deliver an electric shock to restore normal heart rhythms when a particular type of irregular heartbeat is detected, but they do not deliver a charge if no such beat is detected. The New York Medical Examiner's Office confirmed Desir died from complications of diabetes and heart disease. The FAA's Federal Air Surgeon's Office will discuss the incident with officials at American. When it became clear Desir had died, her body was moved to the front of the plane and covered for the rest of the flight. As traumatic as that may have been for some passengers, imagine if your co-pilot died during a flight. The London Times reports a GB Airways Airbus A320 with 156 passengers on board diverted to Istanbul Sunday evening after the flight's first officer died. GB issued a statement which said, in part, quote, "At no time was the aircraft, passengers, or crew in any danger. The first officer's next of kin have been informed, and our thoughts and condolences are with his wife and family following this tragic news," unquote. Airline officials identified the co-pilot as 43-year-old Michael Warren. Quote, "He had been with GB Airways since August 2005, and previous to that, he flew with the RAF," unquote. GB Airways operates some British Airways routes and was recently acquired by EasyJet. Up next on ANN, an A320 flies with broken landing gear twice. Eclipse Aviation announces the certification of its new color weather radar. And Spectrum Aeronautical announces a significant new light jet order. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 27th, 2008. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. An Airbus A320 operated by the Thomas Cook Group, a major European travel company, was permitted to keep flying after damaging its main gear in a hard landing at Bristol, England in November of 2006. While the circumstances suggest it wasn't necessarily the manufacturer's fault, Airbus says it will revise training and documentation for mechanics. Bloomberg reports that after the plane came through turbulence to a hard landing in Bristol, ground crews there didn't find the resulting damage to the right main gear. After the plane took off on its next flight, the gear failed to retract, and the flight was diverted to Manchester. In somewhat of an eyebrow raiser, mechanics there were not told of the original hard landing at Bristol, failed to jack up the plane to thoroughly inspect the gear again, and on the plane's next takeoff, the gear got stuck down again. Britain's Air Accidents Investigation Branch says the engineer at Bristol had not been trained adequately to use the Airbus A320's virtual maintenance manuals on a computer and recommended the training procedures be amended. To Airbus's credit, the report did admit that the incident, quote, demonstrates that the aircraft is able to withstand such landings without suffering major structural damage, unquote. Eclipse Aviation announced on Tuesday the FAA has certified the new Eclipse Aviation Weather Radar System, a color radar system designed by Eclipse and Japan Radio Company Limited. The collaboration was announced last summer at Oshkosh. JRC is a Japanese company with roots dating back to 1915 and claims development of the first cavity magnetron for radar use in 1939. The company has produced a variety of communications products, some sold under other brand names in the U.S., In recent years, JRC's radar products have focused primarily on the marine market segment. Eclipse CEO Vern Rayburn called the announcement, quote, another example of Eclipse's ability to develop and certify complex technologies that continuously improve the value of our products. JRC has been an exceptional partner in the design and launch of this next-generation system, and we're pleased to offer Eclipse 500 pilots the outstanding situational weather awareness it delivers, unquote. Eclipse says the new system integrates seamlessly with AVIO-NG and provides equivalent reliability and functionality to the previous Eclipse 500 weather radar that was built by Honeywell. The first Eclipse 500 jet to feature the new system received certification of airworthiness on Saturday. Spectrum Aeronautical announced Monday a significant fleet order for the Independence Model S-33 and Freedom Model S-40 business jets. The order was placed by Jetpool LLC of Charlotte, North Carolina. The exact size of the order was not specified. Spectrum President Austin Blue said of his customer, quote, Jetpool has turned shared and single jet ownership into an affordable yet hassle-free proposition. They tackle all the complex aspects of the ownership experience by applying the operational precision that comes from being owned and led almost exclusively by military veterans, unquote. Director of Sales Gary Bushouse added, quote, in addition to their management services, they're also offering a mentor pilot program staffed with former Navy aviators. That type of talent serving as mentor pilots is the optimal way to transition to jets, unquote. Ryan Stone, CEO of Jetpool, said the Spectrum family of aircraft was an easy choice after an extensive evaluation of alternative light jet aircraft and predicted it will stir up the VLJ marketplace, quote, Spectrum's products will give our shared ownership clients high-performing regular-sized aircraft at a VLJ weight and price. The value proposition is truly disruptive, unquote. Spectrum Aeronautical is headquartered in Carlsbad, California, with its development center located in Spanish Fork, Utah. The company is developing two jets. The Freedom is a nine-place mid-size jet scheduled for certification and first deliveries in 2009. The Independence is an eight-place light jet. It's scheduled for certification and initial deliveries in 2010. Both aircraft feature composite fuselages and empty weights about 40% below comparably sized aluminum aircraft. JetPool is sponsoring a VLJ symposium at its Charlotte headquarters March 7th and 8th. This year's program is expected to attract over 1,000 attendees from the U.S. and abroad, as well as a number of VLJ manufacturers. Acro Helipro Global Services Incorporated recently became officially known as Vector Aerospace Helicopter Services. The much-improved name must not be the only thing management is doing right. The company was awarded the prestigious Rolls-Royce 2007 Customer Satisfaction Award during Rolls-Royce's AMC Awards Banquet Sunday in conjunction with Healy Expo 2008. During the awards dinner, Acro Helipro was recognized for superior customer satisfaction, with customers ranging from single aircraft operators to commercial operators, governments, and security departments. Company President John McDougall says his company is always looking for ways to improve, a mindset he expects will continue its pattern of success for years to come. Acro Helipro has been the recipient of multiple awards at the annual Rolls-Royce AMC Awards Dinner in six of the last 7 years. Still ahead, hundreds protest NASA's proposal for rockets at Merritt Island. Brazen protesters embarrass security efforts at Heathrow. And NASA promotes shuttle manager Wayne Hale. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, February 27th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. If you propose to take one of America's most popular wildlife sanctuaries and turn it into a spaceport, you're pretty much guaranteed to get a turnout at your public hearing. Among the hundreds of protesters packing Titusville City Council chambers Monday were bird watchers, nude recreationalists, and even former NASA engineers. NASA is proposing that 200 acres of Florida's Merritt Island National Wildlife Sanctuary be taken for use as a private sector space launch facility. The Orlando Sentinel reports NASA will hold two more public meetings on Thursday in New Smyrna Beach to gather information and public reaction. A final environmental assessment is expected in September. Many meeting attendees so far are urging NASA to direct the new development to the abandoned area called Missile Row at the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. NASA officials have said they lack the authority because the facility is still controlled by the Air Force. Local nudist Robert Allen wondered how big a problem that really was. He told the Sentinel, quote, after all, it's simply taking it from one federal pocket and putting it in another, unquote. I know. Interesting metaphor from a guy who doesn't believe in pockets. A Monday protest against a new third runway at London Heathrow Airport, staged by Greenpeace, has resulted in red faces. The protesters rode one British Airways flight from Manchester to Heathrow, then slipped through the door between terminals, out a broken security door onto the tarmac, climbed an air stair next to an A320, then onto the plane itself. The group then hoisted a banner which covered the plane's tail and said, "Climate emergency, no third runway," unquote. As you might imagine, in the post-9/11 era, lots of CMA has ensued. The protesters were arrested and presented with a trespass notice, which bans them for life from British Airways flights. They've also been told to stop contacting the airline and its staff. Greenpeace isn't the only environmental group fighting Heathrow's third runway. The group Plain Stupid calls the fight to block the runway one of the biggest environmental battles in Europe, quote, and it's one we intend to win, unquote. Man, how'd you like to be the poor guy in charge of maintaining security doors? NASA has announced that a guy with a name familiar to shuttle buffs, Wayne Hale Jr., will be NASA's new Deputy Associate Administrator for Strategic Partnerships. John Shannon, a mission management team chairman and Hale's deputy since November 2005, will succeed him as the Space Shuttle Program Manager. Bill Gerstenmaier, Associate Administrator for Space Operations, explained, quote, "Wayne has done so much for the human spaceflight program and built a strong team. The momentum he created will continue. We know John will do an outstanding job as the program manager after his tremendous leadership as Wayne's deputy," unquote. Hale has served as manager of the Space Shuttle program since September of 2005. In his new position, he'll work in Houston as a senior NASA official in the Space Operations Mission Directorate, providing strategic leadership to foster cooperative partnerships that help achieve NASA goals, build alliances across public and private sectors, and improve U.S. competitiveness and economic growth. As the Space Shuttle Program Manager, Hale led the shuttle's return to flight missions, along with six subsequent flights that successfully continued construction of the International Space Station. And finally, a U.S. Coast Guard helicopter crew rescued a pilot trapped on San Bruno Mountain Monday evening after firefighters called the agency for assistance. A local newspaper reports the 44-year-old was plucked from a location about a third of a mile up the mountain at 7:16 p.m. after he became stuck while looking for his plane. The man and his son had reportedly been flying radio-controlled models when one of the planes went missing. A family member called 911 after the man started up the mountain to look for the plane and became stranded. Coast Guard officials say the man was not hurt. There's no word on whether the missing plane was found. What a story he's going to have at the next meeting of the RC Club. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Gamma's Pete Bunce concludes his remarks about the future of general aviation with thoughts on environmental scrutiny and a reporter Q&A session. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.